Rich Kimball here, and pleased to be joined on the phone by a New York Times best-selling author of books like Harvest, Gravity, The Bone Garden, the Rizzolian Isles novels, and a brand new one that is absolutely terrific entitled The Shape of Night. We're thrilled to be joined by Tess Gerritsen. Tess, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to talk to you.
Thank you so much for being with us. I was telling you before we went on, I love the book, but I made what turned out to be the mistake of starting to read it alone in my old house, and I began to get a little nervous there. The tension is palpable in this one.
Yeah, when you start hearing creaks and noises in your house, you wonder what's really there. Is it a mouse or could it be a ghost?
Well, it's a wonderful story of a food writer named Ava who rents an old home in coastal Maine to finish her book, but also kind of get her life together. And she picks an interesting locale to do this.
Yeah, a house called Brody's Watch, which is an old sea captain's house on the coast. And it still has as one of its tenants the ghost of the old sea captain.
Yes, and it turns out that it's not the mice that she and her cat track down that are the most disturbing visitor there.
Yeah, but this is a ghost with a twist. This is a ghost who has his attractions. And, you know, I was intrigued by the idea of choice between a perfect lover who may not be real and a real human being with all its flaws. And which would we choose? And I find this parallel with people who are actually choosing computer sex over real women. And in a way, that's what this ghost represents, the perfect lover.
Well, and what I love about the character of Ava Collette is that she's a very flawed heroine, and we sometimes want to yell at her when we know she's making a bad choice.
Yes, but she is like all of us. We all make bad choices, and sometimes we live to regret them. She is trying to heal from something she's done that turned out very badly, and that's part of the reason she's fled to Maine.
Well, and what's wonderful, too, being somebody who grew up in Maine, that you really capture the dichotomy of the beauty and the solitude that one finds in these coastal areas, but also the isolation that you can feel as well.
Yeah, you know, the isolation is, I mean, that's but part of what makes Maine so beautiful. But for an outsider, it's part of what makes Maine seem a little scary and creepy. Although you and I know it's a really safe place to live. There's something about being here, you know, in the middle of the woods or away from everybody else, and it's dark out, and you hear noises in your house, and you wonder.
Well, you sure do. And this book gets even more interesting it goes along, because it turns from a ghost story to a thriller and then eventually a murder mystery as well.
Yeah, well, you know, I seem to be unable to get away from murder mysteries. So it doesn't matter what the book is. Somebody is going to get killed there.
I have to mention also the food that you write about in this book is amazing. I want to buy the Shape of Night recipe book. Can you make that happen?
Well, you know, a lot of those recipes are very traditional. I mentioned, and I did some research into, you know, how did you make a lobster pie? And how did you make this old sailor's beef stew? And it was a lot of fun. Food is a big part of my life because my father was he had a restaurant. He was a professional cook. So I grew up with this real deep appreciation of how hard it is to put a good meal on the table every single night.
Have you ever, this is a very personal question here, but have you ever, I had thoughts, I guess we'll call them fantasies, about somebody like Captain Brody there, or did that come purely from the imagination?
Well, you know, I can't, you know, I'm not going to say that. What I can say is that there's something about a ghost that feels perfect. You know, when you think about a ghost lover, he's going to know what you want. He's going to know how to satisfy you. He is never going to tell your secrets. And you can totally trust him. And then in the morning, you don't have to cook breakfast for this guy. So in every way, as I was mentioning, you know, men and computers, women, there is a perfect lover in that way, but he's not real. And would you trade him for a flawed human being?
Is it safe to say that there's something in this ghost lover that makes Ava tap into a side of herself that maybe she wasn't aware of?
It certainly does. And I think that he, when she sees him, when he comes to her, he's actually feeding off her own emotions about what she needs. And she's working off a terrible sense of shame for something she did. And what the ghost delivers is what she needs at that moment in her life.
And there's also, even in this relationship that has, I guess we could say, some dark turns to it, but there's still very much, and this is a theme in many of your books, there's a real sense of empowerment there.
Yeah, by the end, I think that she knows what she needs. She can take control of her life, and the ghost, in a way, helps her. And I don't think she realizes at the end just what he meant when he said, "What under my roof, what you seek is what you will find." And that's exactly what she needed to find.
We're talking with Tess Gerritsen about her wonderful new book, The Shape of Night. You're a longtime resident of coastal Maine. Is there something inherently mysterious about these old homes and these small towns?
Because there is something mysterious. I mean, I that's why I live here. I love small towns. And I love visiting old homes. And when you walk into a house that's been lived in for over 100 years, you know, if you're sensitive, maybe you can feel some external, some vibrations that are still there from the people who live there and breathe there. So I was trying to capture some of that sense of the soul of old houses.
Well, and you do that very well, and it had me thinking about my own house, and I find, I don't know if I've got a captain watching over me there, but I find for the most part, whatever that is, that energy, that feeling, there's some comfort to that and a sense of continuity.
Yeah, I know. I mean, some people feel their house is haunted, but by a ghost that's very friendly, or a ghost that watches over them or protects them. And yeah, I've been collecting ghost stories in Maine. Maine is a very supposedly haunted place. Because it seems like every little town has at least a couple haunted houses. So I think we're really in touch with our past. That's really what we're haunted by, is what happened before.
You have been such a prolific writer through the years. Do you, I know of course Stephen King owns our station, so we know a little bit about his process, but do you write every day? How does it work for you?
I write when I get a story, and sometimes there are like gaps of months between stories while I'm waiting for something to percolate. But once I get going, I really get going, and in general, I turn in a book about once every year. So that's relatively, you know, good. As long as you are consistent, you can, after a couple of decades, you will have a couple dozen books under your belt.
The Rizzoli and Isles books were so successful, and of course the television series as well, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but you write in a very cinematic style.
Maybe that just comes by, you know, just by nature. I'm not really aware of it. I think that most writers, when they write, they are very visual. They are writing what they can imagine seeing. So if it turns out cinematic, maybe that's where it comes from.
Well, I could certainly picture that crumbling widow's walk and what it was like up there with the maybe the scariest moment for me, and it probably wasn't the scariest for a lot of people, but when Ava goes up there and it's just the cat.
Yeah. The cat plays a very important role in the story, her main coon cat. And let me just reassure anybody who's listening, the cat survives.
No cat spoilers here, but it really is a wonderful book. The Shape of Night, the newest from Tess Gerritsen. Loved reading it. It was great for us to have the chance to talk with you. Thanks so much for being with us, and we wish you continued good luck and success.
Well, thanks, and good to talk to you, too. Bye-bye.
Tess Gerritsen with us here on Downtown. This is a terrific book.